Listen and earn to the Profit Express with your host, Tim Healy. For over a decade, Tim has helped the Long Island business community create sales systems through sales system development, training, and coaching. Tim is also the president and owner of Healy Success Solutions. Get ready as we create big-time profits for your business today. Now, here's your host, Tim Healy.
Hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm your host, Tim Healy. And this is the show dedicated to the makers and shakers of business today. That's why I'm inviting you to join me each and every week as we tackle all topics from sales and marketing to entrepreneurship and beyond right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. So get on board so together we can create big time profits for your business. Welcome aboard, everybody. Thanks for listening today. So what's in store for today's show? Well, at 6:50 p.m., we have the Bottom Line Benefit. And each week, you know I have an expert, and they offer their insight into the latest and greatest in everything from finance to IT, marketing, and accounting. And today's feature will be with Bill Corbett, the president of Corbett Public Relations. They're a leading PR, social media, and personal branding firm based in Floral Park, New York. So keep it right here on 88.7 FM WRHU. Now, I am super excited for today's guest. Her story is the quintessential entrepreneurial success story. She was never really a good student. She had problems reading, and she failed at 22 jobs. Then one day, she took a gamble, and with $1,000 from her then-boyfriend, Ray, they opened up their own real estate business. She became the queen of New York real estate, a best-selling author, and is currently resident shark on ABC's Shark Tank. She is none other than Barbara Cochran, and she is my guest on the Profit Express today. And before I have you on, I want to give you a little bit of a background of her story, because her story is so compelling for all entrepreneurs who are listening today. Part of that story is, how did she go from $1,000 to selling her business in 2001 for $66 million? In her book, Shark Tales, she shares how her life as one of 10, count them, 10 siblings, ended up shaping so much of her business success. Now, as I read through the book, I realized Barbara didn't allow excuses to get in the way. She relied on her own imagination and her own guts. Now, in my opinion, what makes her book a must-read for all you entrepreneurs out there are the stories of how she figured it out along the way. Barbara rented her first one-bedroom apartment by applying her ribbons-on-pigtails theory that she first put into practice when she was a waitress competing with a well-endowed Dolly Parton look-alike waitress for customers at a local diner. Then in 1994, she realized she had to bully the bully, a lesson she learned from her brother Tommy. The bully in this case was Donald Trump, and she owed Barbara $4 million in commissions, and he was suing her not to pay because of breach of contract. Barbara realized who she was up against, and she didn't back down, and she decided she had to bully the bully, and she won. Now, for me, what was probably one of the most captivating stories in the book actually took place in January of 1991, when Barbara's firm was about to go bankrupt. Yet she saved her business from the brink by selling what everyone else thought was the impossible. So it's my pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express, the queen of New York real estate, best-selling author, and resident shark on ABC Shark Tank, Barbara Cochran. Barbara, how are you today?
I'm fine, but after that build-up, my head is floating. I'm going to have to come over and squeeze it in. Whoa, what a build-up. Hey, I should have married you.
You might want to talk to your husband. That's very flattering.
Oh,
thank you so much.
He's not going to allow that, believe me.
Hey, I'm just giving the facts. This is no hyperbole
it's
here.
It's not the facts. It's how you tell them. I'm like, I'm hanging on the edge of my seat. You're kidding.
Maybe we should just end the interview now. It's going so well, you know? But Sarah,
thank you. Very flattering. And you did overstate everything just a little bit, but I'm not going to tell anybody.
It'll be our secret. And thank you for the very kind words, certainly. And thanks for taking some time out of what I know is a crazy schedule to be on board the Profit Express today.
You're kidding. It's 6 o'clock. It's delicious. The day's behind me. I could do anything at this point.
Excellent. So let's talk on the radio. Let's have a little conversation.
Okay.
I'd love to start off with your description of what I called the special genius your mom used to keep a house of 10 going, that it seemed that you yourself relied on to build that real estate empire.
Oh, come on. Everything I did building the Corcoran Group was almost like a not very good imitation of what my mother did raising her 10 kids. You know, my mom, if she had been in business, would have definitely been Bill Gates or somebody of that stature. But, of course, her lifelong dream was to have 12 children. She always said, admonished herself, saying she didn't quite get there. But I would say 10 is good enough.
Yes.
Whatever. But my mom was really an amazingly organized human being, just for starters. She ran our little two-bedroom house with six girls in the girls' room, four boys in the boys' room, like a boot camp.
Yes.
And she produced all those kids from the living room Castro convertible with my dad, obviously. Something was working there.
Yes.
But you know what else my mother did? She had really, I guess it was maybe demanded by shortage of time, but because, of course, she'd never had time.
Sure.
She was so busy all the time. But she definitely decided on the birth of each of her children what she thought the child's gift was. And I remember every child younger than me that she brought home from the hospital, her unwrapping the little blanket around them,
mm-hmm.
and introducing that child and telling us, meet your brother Thomas. He's going to be a phenomenal dancer. And it's a little like 2 days old, right? But she'd show us his chubby legs, how he kicked hard and everything, and she'd say, amazing legs. He's going to be a dancer. And, of course, he grew up and danced for the Alvin Alley Dance Theater
as a
ballet dancer. And she was uncanny in that she would name just one positive trait. But you know what she did on top of naming it? She would put us in that role in the family that we had to demonstrate it again and again and again. And we fell for it. So I don't know if we had any of these gifts, she said, but she certainly named them, and we all believed it. But you know what I realize now as an adult and a parent of two? I realize that it was really another efficiency system, because she would get all of her kids doing what they did well, and she just had everybody marching to her orders. Again, everybody was in line.
She was a great salesperson, obviously.
Yes, she was, or maybe she, I don't know what she was, but she was definitely, more than anything, inspirational.
Wow.
Definitely inspirational.
Now, how did your mom's advice of using pigtails help you to rent that first apartment?
Well, you know, my mom was great at making the most of what she had. So if we had torn sofas, she'd sit her children on the tear so that the company couldn't see them. We would have to sit there for hours. We couldn't move, covering the tears, if my sister brought home her first boyfriend, wanted to impress him or what have you. So she always made do and was a great walking, talking example of emphasizing the positive in anything. So when I was able to get my first rental listing, which was a one-bedroom on the third floor, and I was able to get it as a property that I would be allowed to rent as a new real estate agent, I got it from my old boss, Joe Giaffuni, who I was his receptionist for a year, answering his phones. And he said, sure, take the worst apartment, see what you can do with it.
Right.
And so, of course, looking at the New York Times real estate section in those days, it spanned 8, maybe 9, 12 pages sometimes. And I was overwhelmed by how many one-bedroom rentals were advertised. I'm thinking, how do I do this? I only have one little three-line ad. How am I going to get the attention and compete against all these giant people? But I thought and thought, and again, every time I thought, I couldn't help but to lean on what I knew best, which was the way I was raised. And I thought, what would Mom do? And I thought, well, she always said, you know, if you don't have big breasts, put ribbons on your pigtails. If you don't have this, do this, do this. So I just thought about it and called Mr. Giaffuni and said, what do you say we take that L-shaped living room? If you could build for me a partial wall, like a, you know, with a double opening in dividing that little L in the living room, I think I can get you another $30 a month. And so I came out with my first ad that said, not one bedroom, $340 a month, like every other Tom, Dick, and Harry broker in the field, in the thousands of ads, but I advertise one bedroom plus den, $340 a month. Now, why would anybody call on a one bedroom if they could get a one bedroom in den? Same apartment,
right,
but repositioning. And I can't really even take the credit for that, because I was trying to think of how to stretch my ad dollar. And you know, when you're first in business, every move you make counts as 10 moves, because you can eliminate yourself or you can build your business. And it's such precious money then in those days. And so I used kind of my mother's way of thinking to slam home a lot of value on one tiny little ad. And let me tell you, there may have been 1,000 people in New York calling on rental ads that Sunday. But let me tell you, I was hearing from at least 400 of them on my tiny little ad because I created a value in people's mind. And so I got 100 times the bang for my advertising buck.
It was in the Sunday paper. You had it rented by Monday, right?
I rented it. I don't even recall. I know I rented it at least that day or on Monday. It was like, bam! And then, of course, Mr. Giafone was very happy with every other L-shaped one-bedroom after that to start building those walls. He got it.
He got
another $40 a month. That's a lot of money.
He was on board. Great job. Now, when you decided to part ways with your ex-boyfriend and business partner, Ray, why was his prediction that you'll never succeed without me? Why was that so powerful for you?
You know, it was the power of the insult. You know, when I ended that business, because, of course, he ran off and married my secretary, and I, after a year, I just couldn't go into work and
put them
together. You know, just I was envious, I must say, jealous, envious, and injured. But when I announced I was ending the business and we divided up the sales staff of 14 people, divided up the money, divided, and I moved out of the office, when he said, "You'll never succeed without me," I didn't know it then. It was like a knife in my heart. But he gave me a gift of survival. Because in the worst of times, when the chips were down, I didn't know what the heck I could do to stay in business. And this is not just my sad story, but this is every entrepreneur, up, down, up, down. But on those very dark hours, I would just think of that insult, and I think I would rather die than let him see me not succeed. Now, let me tell you, I doubt whether he was watching me. He was already onto his new chick. But the fact of the matter is for me, it burned. And it kept me moving and thinking of one more thing because I couldn't give him the satisfaction of seeing me go down. So I don't believe in negative motivation. I'm much more cut out of the cloth of my mom underlining the positive. But there's two ways to motivate people. And let me tell you, I learned through that real life experience that maybe that was the best way to motivate me. It sure got this girl to run hard, you know?
Wow. That's a great story. Like you said, you don't usually focus on negative motivation, but every so often, when it's...
You know what? Life is a funny thing. There are probably 10 people out there who have been insulted and got a bad turn or were damned to hell or not loved by their parent. A million. So many more of those people than the people who were loved to death and promoted as kids, you know? And so if there's anything, I think if you could get, take an insult and let it fuel you, run hard and say, "I'll show you." I mean, there's many more opportunities to do that in life than to coo and say thank you on a lovely lovely compliment. You know, they're more frequent, the insults, I find.
Unfortunately. And today, folks, you're listening to Profit Express right here on 88.7 FM WRHU, and we are real fortunate to have on board my guest, Barbara Cochran. She's obviously the queen of New York real estate, best-selling author. She's resident shark on Shark Tales, Shark Tank, rather. I'm sorry.
Don't you worry about it.
I have the book right in front of me here, and I was just looking at it. Best-selling author. The book is Shark Tales.
But the show on Friday night is Shark Tank.
Shark Tank. Yes, let's
get
make
it?
That. Yes. What is it? ABC Fridays at 8, right?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Okay. The book Shark Tales, for all you entrepreneurs out there, in my opinion, must read book. Now, Barbara, one of my favorite stories in the book was how you figured out to sell 88 apartments in one day, and it literally, from what you're saying in the book, saved you from the brink.
Let me tell you, it not only saved me from the brink, because 88 apartments and over $1 million in net commissions in just a few hours, who would ever shake a stick at that and complain, right?
Right.
But what it did beyond saving me is it gave me a ton of cash when everybody else was going out of business. Do you have any idea what an advantage it is to be the wealthy kid on the block when everybody else is going to the poorhouse? It gives you buying power that you can't believe.
Sure.
And so I was able to take that money and open two new offices, boom, like that. What an advantage that was. But the reason I thought of that, again, I was doing nothing more than imitating a lesson my mother taught us as kids when she took us to Old Tom's River and we watched the chicken lady. I don't know why. She didn't have chickens, but we called her the chicken lady. And she had invited a lot of city slickers to Tom's River to pick out their favorite Jack Russell puppy, and she didn't have enough puppies to go around. And my mom sat us on that gravel road, and she said, "Louise, the chicken lady, of course, is a lot smarter than these city people think she is. She invited everyone to see the puppies at the same time. And they're all in one little carton, And I think, I don't now recall, maybe she had 6 or 7 puppies, and there were at least 12 people wanting to buy them at noon. And so those people from New York City, more sophisticated, with more money, with the fancy cars and the fancy clothes, were groveling to get their hands on the best of the litter. And so, of course, I took 88 apartments in New York City that couldn't be sold. I priced them identically, which makes no sense in real estate. So you can get the high floor, the low floor, the one with the kitchen, the one with no kitchen, the one in the horrible building, the one with the good building, for the same price.
Right.
But when I announced it was a secret sale to my salespeople, and come early to get the, quote, pick of the litter, get the pick of the litter, I kept saying, let me tell you, I couldn't believe that miracle. When I woke up early and ran to that sales office where I was going to distribute the list of addresses, which I kept in my pocket till the very last second, and saw over 150 people waiting in lines to get their hands on that list, I thought to myself, no, it can't be this easy. It can't be this easy. And just like those city slickers in Tom's River, here I was in the city with the slickers, and right. They gobbled up those properties as fast as I could hit them. And you know what? It sounds crazy. Like, why would the last person who got the New York City apartment runt of the litter walk away happy and sign that deal? Because they saw another 100 people in line behind them. But you want to know, it's amazing. In real estate, everybody wants what everybody wants, and nobody wants what nobody wants, for the same reason we all like to go to the restaurant with the crowded parking lot. I have a brother who owns a restaurant,
right.
And he pays people to park there, so you can't go for that. But that was such a valuable lesson, that you have to create the impression that there's a huge demand, and how can you manipulate it so it actually happens. And after that, I'll tell you, God rewards the brave of heart, because the market turned around, not because of our sale, it was just a coincidence. And boom, I had all this cash in a market while everybody else was laying low.
Is it fair to say that if that opportunity hadn't come across your desk, you probably would have closed your doors?
Oh, let me tell you, I was closing my doors. I thought of that idea as I was writing the goodbye speech on Christmas Eve. I was opening my January meeting. I owed $330,000. I felt ashamed of owing money.
Right.
And I was writing my goodbye. Thank you, everybody, for staying with me for the last 9 years in my business. This was a goodbye speech when that little bing image popped in my head. And you know what got that image in my head yet again? I was picturing Ramon Simone smiling as I went down. And bam, I got one more idea.
I love
great
it.
Motivator.
Wow. Hey, thanks to Ramon in one sense.
Thank him. Oh, my gosh. I should give him half my business, but I didn't give him half $66 million. I just wrote him a thank you note.
There you go. And again, folks, Barbara Cochran, she's on with us today. She, of course, Queen of New York Real Estate, resident shark on ABC's Shark Tank, that is. Now, why was the release, and this is a great question for all those entrepreneurs out there. We're all looking for branding, ways of, you know, separating ourselves from the crowd. Why was the release of your first ever Cochran Report so important to your firm?
Oh, let me tell you. Releasing that Cochran Report, I wouldn't even say releasing it. Basically, it was 11 sales we had for the year, which I added up and divided by 11. And lucky for me, I wasn't the best student, but I knew my 11 times tables. Those always came to those and twos. So I knew how to divide by 11, and I came up with an average sale price and typed it up on my little Selectric typewriter, mailed it to everyone who wrote for the New York Times that day. Why was it important? Because someone took my statistics and used it to support a story on the New York City real estate market. The story the reporter wanted to write, Carter Horsley of the New York Times, the venerable New York Times, the story he was looking to write was that the New York City market was in the pot, if there's such a word. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the right way. Prices were terrible and how bad it was. And my little report came across his desk. And what did he need? He needed a statistic. And so I discovered the big kahuna of press, which is provide numbers. Reporters will think of their ideas. They don't need your ideas. And that's what most PR people do. They pitch, how about a story on this? How about a story on that? Uh-uh. The real estate reporter, business reporter, they want to think of their own ideas. They want to own it. But what they need is support of their ideas, and for that they need statistics. So I, by accident, in an act of desperation, landed on the great truth in all branding that if you can create statistics and get them out regularly, someone will bite and quote you. And that was the first time I was quoted, the first line of that first page of the real estate section, according to Barbara Corcoran. And I was a different Barbara Corcoran that day than I was only a day before, because people heard my name and I discovered the power of the press and the third-party endorsement. To this day, it is amazing to me that entrepreneurs in business don't write a statistical report. It sure looks dry from where you're sitting, because you know your own statistics.
Sure, sure.
But my gosh, you know your business better than anyone else, and churn them into some kind of a report and get them out there, and you become the source for numbers, and that's what you want to do if you want to create a power brand. The reason I was paid $66 million for my company versus $22 million, which was probably worth, was because they wanted my brand. It had power. And how did I get the power to that brand? I got it by publishing my Corcoran Report every 6 months for the rest of my life. It's such an easy one. And you know the irony of the whole thing? It's not an advertisement. It doesn't cost
sure.
you anything.
Yeah.
You could just churn that stuff on out.
I love it. And this is just such classics for all the entrepreneurs out there. And I love your humble nature and the fact that so
I'm not humble. I'm very proud.
No, I'm saying humble as far as going back to giving a lot of it to your mom. And your
mom's, well, she deserves it.
Yeah.
My God, I don't think I had an original bone in my body.
Right. And but you should be proud, by the way. Now, speaking about being proud, you decided to bully the bully.
Oh, yeah.
And in this case, the bully was Donald Trump. And you won.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Yes, 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 yes. How important was that victory for you?
Do you know, it was a relief. So I don't think at the time I thought of it as a victory. I just wanted to get out of trouble. I mean, what I wanted to do is collect the commission that I knew my company earned, because we sold the biggest land deal in New York's history, the whole the Penn Yards, which is now all those Trump buildings you see along Riverside Drive.
Mm.
And we were nobody in the commercial field, but we pulled that one out. And so I couldn't believe the joy we felt for making the biggest commercial deal when we never had done a commercial deal. Pretty remarkable. But to have somebody of that stature turn around and sue you for the money you thought you were getting in, that he wanted the money, sue
right.
you to pay him.
Right.
It was so bizarre. That was my how-do-you-do introduction to the real world of legal business, you know?
Yikes.
And so, of course, I was very quick to call my attorney, the guy who reviewed our little real estate contracts for apartment rents and things like that, and ask him if he could represent me. He was very happy to represent me in this gigantic lawsuit. But then I remembered my mother sending my two big brothers out to beat the crap out of the neighborhood bully who was picking out on my slight gay brother all the time. My mother was smart enough to know, after she told my gay brother over and over, just ignore that kid, Johnny. Just ignore him. He's a bully. Just ignore him. But Johnny never ignored my brother Tommy, and so she said, Johnny and Eddie, these are my bigger brothers. They were not gay, and they were muscular. Go out and beat the crap out of that bully. And they went out and beat the crap out of him, and guess what? My gay brother was never harassed again.
I love
and
it.
That came in my head, and I thought to myself, whoa, what am I doing? I'm hiring my local real estate attorney. What I need to do is find a bully to beat the bully, just
right.
like my mother.
Right.
And so I went out and interviewed every top law firm and every top litigator in the city, and I landed on Richard Seltzer, who was a powerhouse. And if not for hiring him, whether I was right or wrong, made no difference in this lawsuit. It was about who had the most power. And so he won, because he was just as much a bully as Mr. Trump and his team were. And that's really what wins. It shouldn't be that way, but that's the truth. And boy, was that a good business lesson for me.
That's a great lesson. That's a great lesson. Now, let's switch tracks here.
May I add one other thing?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's a little PS, which is good to hear. Because life isn't always this way. Do you know the legal expense of that lawsuit was over $500,000 to win a $6 million commission? Worth it, you might say, but paying the $500,000 bugged me. And do you know, it wasn't until after the lawsuit was won that I realized my errors and omissions insurance that I've been paying for 20 years covered the expense, and I got the $500,000 back. I couldn't believe that. It was like Christmas and my birthday rolled into one.
Is another one of those Catholic miracles you're talking about?
Oh, those Catholic miracles happen a lot to me. I don't care what faith they are, as long as they keep coming.
Right, right. Now, let's talk about Hollywood. Let's switch gears here for a sec.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows you Friday nights, ABC Shark Tank. You're one of the resident sharks. You almost lost the Shark Tank job.
Oh, sure.
What? I didn't know that. What compelled you to write that email, which I love the email, by the way, in the book, to the producer, Mark Burnett? Everybody knows Mark Burnett from Survivor and all that. Mm-hmm. What compelled you to write that email?
I was pissed. Let me tell you, I had already signed the contract to do that show. I knew it was a perfect fit for me. I knew I was destined to be on that show the minute the lead came in. I didn't change a clause in the contract. I never read the contract. I just signed it. I mean, why am I going to nickel dime on a contract when I'm having the best opportunity of my life to that date, right?
Right, right.
And so I thought I had, the deal was done. And then only a few days before, I was supposed to fly out to L.A., and I had already bought my autograph signing outfits. I mean, I was like living Hollywood in my little warped head.
Right.
That's when I got the call saying they had changed their mind. They were hiring some other babe. I couldn't believe it. So that email, which was well-worded, probably the best-worded email and fastest email I ever wrote, I probably took 30 seconds to bang that thing out.
Right.
Perfectly written, because I was so angry.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is the weirdest thing. Do you know, it was about 2 months after I sent that email where I got the job back. So, of course, I recommended to Mark Burnett that he invite the both ladies out and have them compete for the seat, the one female seat.
Smart.
That's exactly
yeah.
what
yep.
he did, all right? But it was 2 months after that that my executive producer said to me, you know, I just want to mention something that you might find interesting. He said, do you know, we rejected 20-some-odd entrepreneurs that were supposed to be judges on this show. We just had a wide field that was signed up, and then we decided who we wanted. And do you know, you were the only one who wrote an email. That is mind-boggling to me.
Really?
These are successful businessmen and women who have oodles of cash who could play on that show, or they wouldn't be on if they
sure.
had the cash. And nobody protested taking a second position, like, oh, we'll call you as a fallback. For me, it was like, how insulting, a fallback.
No, you were the only one who
the only
who
one that wrote. And now here's the lesson, though, in that. The difference that email made in my life, and not just mine, but the life of all the entrepreneurs that I've invested in and made successes with, is mind-boggling. And it all came down to not taking no for an answer.
Right.
And standing back up and taking one less, swing at it. You
that's
know what
simple.
I mean?
That's
and,
simple.
And I know that doesn't, it's not so sophisticated. It's just
yeah.
about how long you take to feel sorry for yourself. And that was a very good moment in my life, because normally I would take at least an hour to feel sorry for myself, but that one, I was like, over it
yeah.
in 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah. All right. And there goes the email. Rapid fire.
Yep, yep. This
has been a great conversation. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it. And I love to talk, and I'm sorry, yak.
No, we can keep on going. Let me, one more question.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I could ask you lots more, but this is what I'm going to go for.
Yeah.
What was a more meaningful victory for you? Selling the business for $66 million or proving that Ray was wrong?
That's a funny choice. I would have to say neither or neither, whatever's appropriate there. You know
right.
what the real joy of it all was and is and continues to be for me is really the idea that I proved to myself that I wasn't stupid. You know, when you're a dyslexic kid, it's a
mm-hmm.
hard road as a kid because you're labeled as a dummy.
Yeah.
You're embarrassed, you know, reading out loud, all the various things that happen,
yeah.
not having the answers. It's really a very long time in school. And so for me, the idea that I built something successful, I built a dream, exactly what I wanted it to be, and succeeded doing it, whether I had cash out or not is unimportant. Whether I made it to Hollywood or not was unimportant. I think what's important is you say to yourself, I showed them. I don't know who the them is. Probably the world. Maybe the old teacher. Maybe the kid that made fun of me. Whoever the heck it was.
Was it
Sister
Stella, perhaps?
Yeah. Sister Stella Marie, the nun from hell. Yeah. Hey, listen, I found out after the book was written she was an alcoholic. So I thought, oh, I get it. I should have never been angry with her, you know?
Right.
But here's the thing. It's about proving it to yourself. All confidence is born out of your own image of yourself. And so that I was able to grow up eventually and feel confident about myself. Do you know that for me is a delicious reward for all the effort? Bar none. You know? The $66 million I like too, I have to tell you. I can't lie about
Not
that.
Not too bad, huh?
But you want to know the joy of the $66 million I learned was in the getting there. The joy of working with these entrepreneurs and seeing them get there is, again, like me being able to repeat the best part of my life again and again and again, you know? And hopefully they'll get their cash one day, and hopefully I'll share in that cash if that happens, and if I live long enough. I figure I only have 10 good years left. Let's see what happens.
Oh, you got more than that. That's just a prediction. Barbara, thanks so much for coming on, sharing your wisdom, sharing your experience. Great conversation. Thank you so much.
Tim. It's a pleasure. Thanks again, Tim.